You're listening to a conversation recorded at the East Conference 2024 in Hot Springs, Arkansas. Enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome back to EastCon 2024. Really excited to have our next guest in the seat. We're going to let him tell us who he is and where he's from and all that kind of good stuff. So here we go.
All right. So I'm Bryson, and I'm from Greene County Tech, which is in Paragould, Arkansas.
Awesome, Bryson. So hey, tell us about your experience here at East.
So I'm actually in East 1, so this is my first year being here. And I've gotten some comments that we actually have a pretty unique project.
Oh, yeah. So tell us about your project.
So we actually have three, but the one that has been unique was recycling Crayola markers, highlighters, all that stuff. Would you like to know more?
Yeah.
All right. So American... No. This will be edited, right?
Yeah. All right. Go ahead.
So marker is one of the most used items in American classrooms, and they use them for a few months, and then like you buy a pack, use them for a few months, and then they get dried out and they get thrown away, and then they get sent to a landfill. Well, we want to help the environment by maybe lessening the amount of markers going to that by recycling. And the way a marker is built, it's a plastic casing with a sponge, so there's no moving parts like a valve or pump or anything like that. So it's really simple. All you do is take the sponge out, put the sponge in, and Crayola does that for you. So what we're doing is we could put a box or a bucket in a well-known location in a school, such as the library, office, cafeteria, somewhere not an obscure classroom that nobody knows where it's at, you know? Like, everyone knows where the library is. Everyone knows where the cafeteria is. Everyone sure does know where the office is. Yeah. So why not put it there? And after the end of the week or after the month ends, we send that to Crayola, and they will recycle it, resell it, and it doesn't go to a landfill. And it teaches the importance of recycling, and it helps the environment.
Awesome. That's a great project. That's a super great project. So who came up with it? How'd you guys, has it been going on for some time? And since it's your first year, did you inherit this, or did you guys just start doing that this year?
So one of our students that didn't come to conference, Mr. Finch, which is my facilitator, he brought the idea up, and I was like, hey, I'm going to East Conference. Why don't I take that on? And so we did that. And Crayola has actually been doing this. Like, this isn't recent. This has been going on for a while, as of my knowledge. And we're just trying to bring awareness to it.
That's really cool. So you said there were some other projects at your booth. Can you tell us what those are?
Yes, I can. So we have Dress for Success and Eclipse Safety. So Dress for Success. So I've been presenting at our booth all day, and we were told to wear a business casual, which is what I'm wearing, just a collared shirt with a pretty exotic tie and dress pants, dress shoes, and if I had room for a sports coat, I would have brought it.
Yeah, sure.
but I've seen a lot of kids here that were asked to wear business casual, and they wore an everyday outfit, such as hoodies, t-shirts, blue jeans, even sweatpants, which is completely unprofessional. And I've noticed that it was from the 13-year-old to the 20-year-old range, and such as at mega churches where the pastor will wear a t-shirt, some nice jeans, and some tennis shoes, something you'd wear every day, such as to Walmart, Target, to your school, you know, something you'd wear every day.
Casual.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you know, you're presenting, like, whether it's a small southern church of 200 or a large mega church of 2,000, you're presenting something, and, you know, you're presenting something. You want to be taken seriously, and you want to make a good first impression. And knowing how to dress appropriately for those occasions is a good life skill in general, and we just want to bring awareness to that.
That's really cool.
Okay. So as part of that project, then, do you work with other students in your school to help them understand what the difference is between casual and business casual, and even business dress? Is that part of the project? You're educating your fellow students?
Yes. So a good example of business casual would be, say, the teachers or the administration, which in ninth grade, which is junior high at my school, my principal, Mr. Nelson, he would always wear a collared shirt, like something you'd wear to church, like a polo and some dress pants and some nice shoes. And sometimes he'd wear a tie, especially around the holidays. He'd have some pretty exotic ties that light up and stuff. But yeah, so he'd be a pretty good example of business casual, which right now I'm in between business casual and business professional.
Yeah.
But business professional is like, imagine what a lawyer would wear. Like,
yeah.
And then casual is what you wear every day.
Yeah.
So just learning how to wear those items of clothing is just a
it's important. Yeah. It really defines who you are as a person.
So
yeah.
what are some of the ways that you've, other than just describing like you just did, are there either graphical ways or video? What are some of the mechanisms that you're using to help communicate what the different styles are to your classmates?
Oh, yeah.
It's really just saying like, hey, a collared shirt isn't something you wear every day. And so, I mean, that it's and it looks nice. I mean, like, if it looks nice, then it's probably not casual.
Yeah.
All right. So are you like providing pictures? Are you making videos?
So this is something that we recently started. And so we haven't had much time to educate people, but we do plan on it.
Oh, that's
sure.
cool.
Okay.
That's
okay.
cool.
I'm with you.
So let's talk about eclipse safety, because you know it's right around the corner. It's less than a month away now. So.
Yeah. So on April 8th, there's going to be a total eclipse in Paragould, which is where I am. And 2 minutes and 47 seconds of complete darkness.
Yeah.
And so what we want to do is bring awareness, because I believe the last solar eclipse in this area was in 2017. And most people have forgotten about the safety, which there's an estimated 1.5 million people coming to Arkansas. And so what we did was we got everybody out of school for that day.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean,
free day off. Hey.
Yeah. So there's going to be a few people coming to see total darkness for a couple minutes, and that's already enough traffic, because the way that Paragould's built, it wasn't really built for growth, so having that large of an influx of traffic is going to make even going a mile difficult.
Sure. Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's not sidewalks either in most places, except in some suburban places, but so there, you'll definitely have to have a motor vehicle to get around, but first responders will be on call to respond to any car accidents or people looking up at the sun and blinding themselves.
That's going to be a problem.
Yeah, and also letting out school, because the eclipse is going to be in midday, which is the time that we get out. We get out around 3:10.
Yeah.
And, you know, teenagers are going to be driving themselves out. Parents are going to come and pick up their teens. And
yep.
Buses are going to try and leave. And it's just going to be a lot more traffic, especially in those areas. So just working on that safety is, I mean, it's something that's necessary.
Yeah. Well, Bryson, hey, we want to thank you for coming and sitting down with us, man.
Yeah, no
we've
problem.
Learned a lot here, and it sounds like you're having a blast at East.
I am.
Awesome, dude. Hey, thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this conversation recorded live at the 2024 East Initiative Conference in Hot Springs, Arkansas.